Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brustian-Nortman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Nortman.
I'll give Kyle some love because everyone knows I do like giving Kyle a little bit of grief for just having blind faith and then getting his heart hurt and then never looking in the mirror and figuring out, well, maybe it's because I set my expectations too high. So that was my way of taking him down before building him up. Kyle, you're my spirit animal. Y'all need to leave Kyle alone. Y'all dog him constantly for being too positive. Be positive until you can't.
Exactly. Who is that?
Cody on the Carbus Talking Text Line.
See, Cody gets it, understands. Positivity, babe. Honestly, the Green Bay Packers have given me much more to be more positive about in my life than negative. Let's be real.
But those negative moments.
The negatives hurt.
Yeah, they hurt, but at least we have those moments because we make it somewhere. They give us life.
This is exactly
look at the
what
Badgers.
My argument was when the Brewers were playing the Dodgers. I would rather have gone down hurt with the life they have given me, and you guys were just happy to have just gotten whomped.
Whoa. Don't you put that on me. I was not happy to gotten whomped. I was happy it was over.
Yeah.
It was just...
and they closed the door on that game.
I think people are done with the must-win statement or character game on the Carbus Talking Text Line. We're getting none of the above. It's another game. You play to win the game.
Right,
it's a football game from Jeremy. Paul Milwaukee, what about just another game? A statement is like a drop the mic moment. You have to show you can do it first, then remove any doubts by making the statement.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So statement comes at the end.
Yeah.
So
it's quite
the
sounds like you got to build some character before you have
yes,
a statement.
Yes, naturally.
Sounds like
naturally.
Statement isn't until the Super Bowl.
Some would say, like Tristan on the Carbus Talking Text Line, that tonight is a golden opportunity.
Ooh, golden opportunity.
My boy Matthew Golden, the man of my dreams.
Saw it on YouTube. It's a do or die game.
Oh, do or die.
That's a good one. Measuring stick game.
Measuring stick game.
These
ooh,
are
how
so
have
good.
I not been on there?
I know. Keep them coming. A milestone game, another submission.
Tell us about your dream, Kyle Wallace. Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, live from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's amazing sports book, getting you ready for Packers, Eagles, Monday Night Football, leading into Green Bay game day at 4 o'clock.
So I don't remember my dreams that much, but I've been dreaming about sports a lot lately because my mind's been on this Packer game against the Eagles because the last two times we played the Eagles haven't been happy scenes for us. And so I guess somehow I'm dreaming, and I thought this was real. Like, I woke up thinking, oh, my gosh, I hope I started Matthew Golden in fantasy. But then I found out it was just a dream. My dream was Matthew Golden absolutely cooked. I know he's hurt. He may not play today. But that boy had, like, two touchdowns, 90-plus yards. He had a hell of a game. And so my dream was Matthew Golden cooked against the Philadelphia Eagles, and I hope he plays today because I feel like it will come to fruition.
It's fairly crazy that you're having a dream about it, and he hasn't even done that in real life to any sort of degree. And, like, this is sort of what confuses me because whenever he has the ball, he clearly has playmaking ability. Mm-hmm. He looks different out there. Why isn't he being schemed more? Is he making the mistakes?
No,
is Matt LaFleur just scheming away from him? It seems crazy that you wouldn't take a guy like that. First-round wide receiver, you'd think you would do more. Essentially a guy like you got Dobbs, who's going to be a free agent next year. You got other guys that are maybe, you know, Watson's just coming back from an injury, so you want to ease him in.
We were just talking about this too, Brad, from a, like, we look around the league, and you do see teams that draft certain guys at certain positions that are skill positions thrive out of the first round.
Yeah.
More specifically, one of the more looked down upon at the time when he was drafted was Jahmyr Gibbs for the Detroit Lions.
They called him a reach.
Top 10 draft pick. Or maybe he was just out.
He was just outside the top.
Because there was another running back, I believe, ahead of them. Oh, it was Bijan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. That was a good draft class.
And then so Jahmyr Gibbs fell to the Lions. And then you see how they've, even though he was behind Montgomery, they put him in spots to be successful, and now he's jumped over David Montgomery.
where do you feel like the Packers have done a good job of like putting Matthew Golden in that spot where he's getting those opportunities where he's going to jump X, Y, or Z? Because that's the ultimate goal when you pick somebody at pick 23.
You're at the point in the season now, and Brad, you can kind of speak to it because you actually played in the NFL as a rookie. You're at the point now where guys who are rookies who actually have talent that's ready to show – it start turning the corner. You start seeing a little bit more pop plays because you start getting more comfortable with just the NFL speed and confidence in your game. And so I think this is more so on Matt LaFleur and getting him more involved in the offense than it is with Matthew Golden. I think if Matt LaFleur was to be more intentional, like he even said, like, hey, he thinks his time is going to come soon. Well, Matt, that is on you to ensure that his time comes. Feed him the rock as much as possible, because I don't think you have a more explosive player, because Christian Watson is fast. But I don't know if he can explosive catch the ball, take off. I mean, he's done it before. But I think Matthew Golden is a much better wide receiver, can have a much bigger potential to be explosive and catch it and go. And they just have not devised a game plan to get him involved as much as they should. With Tucker Kraft being down, this should be the guy that you should try to test out to see, can he help pick up the slack of what you're going to be missing in that passing offense?
Well, and the Packers have this way about that they do business, where they almost force you to just sit and mature and grow over the course of the early part of your career, and then they sort of unleash you. I even wonder with Tucker Kraft. I mean, Tucker Kraft has turned into an incredible tight end. They sort of kept the leash on him for a little bit before they let him going, and that could be whether it be an offensive lineman they like to sit and learn, or even Edgerrin Cooper last year. I know he was hurt a little bit, but still felt like they were using him in packages, not all the time, even though he was clearly a great player. So I think, in my experience, watching guys in practice, this is why what Rob Domofsky said about Matthew Golden having one of the best camps he's ever seen as a wide receiver says everything I need to know, because the first couple of practices, you know. I mean, you know the guys that can handle a playbook, who can't, who can keep up with the speed of the game, who can't, and the guys that can be playmakers or not. Rarely can you do it in practice and you can't do it in a game, and rarely can you not do it in practice and then turn around and do it in a game. So early on in training camp, I feel like you could always identify, whoa, that dude, he's going to be a stud. He's doing it on the playing field. He looks like he's belong. That's exactly the identification that Rob Domofsky made.
I was going to say, we've seen that identification about Golden. So what is going on?
I don't know, because you would think, oh, he's a rookie. We're going to have him for several years. I know that you want to win this year, but Romeo Doubs probably going to be a free agent next year. You would think you would just start to shift some of the targets from Romeo Doubs. Christian Watson's going to be around next year, but from guys that are going to be here from the short term to the long term, so Jordan Love and Matthew Golden can continue to build chemistry together and be on the same page.
I would say don't do that if it means your team would get worse, but I don't feel like your team would be worse if you're moving targets from Romeo Doubs to Matthew Golden.
And I'm going to use this as an example. I know both people don't know other guys from other teams. There's a rookie down in Tampa Bay named Tez Johnson who they have to depend on, not depend on, but they have to
Chris Godwin hurt, Mike Evans hurt, and Tez Johnson is doing backflips in the end zone. He's had two touchdowns. Meanwhile, the first-round draft pick, Matthew Golden, is still not found in the end zone. He's plus 390 as anytime touchdown, just for those who are paying attention to Padawan Mixino Telco.
And it's not just because Tez Johnson is better than Matthew Golden. It's because they understood that we have to get him involved. He's talented. He's fast. We got to make sure we get him the rock. They're doing that intentional. The offensive coordinator down there is understanding that I have this weapon who can do something with the ball, and I'm going to give him an opportunity. That is what Matthew Golden is missing. He doesn't lack talent. It is he's not getting the opportunity because Matt LaFleur wants to play for
the
offense.
The reason why I jumped on you is because you're so right.
Yeah.
And this is what drives me nuts, especially, again, a lot of people do watch the Packers, right? And it's just the Packers. But I buy Sunday ticket because I want to watch everything possible. Mm-hmm. And it's so fun to see how others do it that when I come to a Monday night game and you see what the Packers have from a weapon standpoint and how nothing changes, it's just the same conversation of this whole week. Do you feel better about Matthew Golden have a breakout game after listening to Matt LaFleur and Matthew Golden? Or Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love?
And no,
they're just like, no, his time will come. You guys are in control of this.
Emeka Abuka, who's having a great year down there, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing in Tampa here in Green Bay. Why? It's because, well, you know, we got to play within the offense. That is the problem, is that you got to start treating these guys who are first-round picks like Devontae Adams.
Guess who Abuka, not every catch he had was against him, but one of the best corners in the league is named Christian Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah.
And Emeka Abuka went over 100 yards and had a touchdown, seven catches.
Yeah, you mentioned...
That's the potential!
You mentioned Egbuka. He's ninth in the NFL in total reception yards. Tet McMillan, 14th. Matthew Golden, 88th.
But look at the... I bet you, look at the targets.
He's way down.
Look at the targets. I promise you, they're being targeted a lot more, and it's not
I'm sure they... Oh, yeah.
And I wonder if... And I think we know the answer. If those Matthew Golden numbers would be similar for Emeka and Tet, if they were Packers.
No, they would be. I
agree.
I'm telling you this right now.
That's what's so frustrating.
Because, again, that is the one problem with this offense with Matt LaFleur in the way that he has Jordan Love run it. It's about finding the open man, right? About playing through the offense. Well, you have to understand that, yes, you can play through the offense and maybe pick up 8 yards, 12 yards. But when you decide that, you know what, I'm going to play through this guy that's an absolute weapon, that's when you got a guy who catches it for 12 and takes it 50. That is the thing. How many big plays did the Green Bay Packers have, big long touchdowns where a guy caught it and took off? Not very many. Matter of fact, Matthew Golden was one of them.
I got your target numbers here. Emeka Egbuka, 15th in the NFL. Tet McMillan, 14th, right next to one another. Matthew Golden.
I bet you lowered it.
116th.
Mm-hmm.
116th. Right in front of him is Rashad White. Right below him is Colston Loveland.
Rashad White is a running back. And well, Loveland is a second tight end.
Yes,
tight
Rashad White has had to play because Bucky Irving's been out. But Loveland, he's in bad company.
Bad company. Not for your first-round wide receiver.
Exactly. But that Matt LaFleur, at a certain point, Matt LaFleur is going to be kicking himself. But, again, it's still we're halfway through the season. We still have time for guys to emerge. And I don't know if Matt's going to play tonight because, you know, the shoulder injury.
Those other guys have almost triple the amount of targets. Triple.
Do you guys buy this? I don't. Like everyone else, he has to pay his dues. Besides, you don't want to show all your cards at once. I'm sure they're planning to prepare him to be an ace in the hole, ace in their sleeve soon.
Almost, no, you don't wait until the big moment.
The NFL is such a short season. Every game is so important. They must win. There's character games. There's statement games. There's do or die games. There's measuring stick games. Every week, it's a type of game.
They tried to force.
Come up with It's a can't have a letdown game against the Giants next week. I mean, you name it. We got all the names here. But I do want to get to Jason Wilde. We'll find out if he's hearing anything on Matthew Golden, if he'll play. I know we had a conversation about that. Plus, get the perspective from Jason Wilde as we head into Monday Night Football. Again, Green Bay game day is following us. Kyle Bruston-Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin at 4 o'clock. You will get Green Bay game day with Alex Troth and Gabe Neitzel. But Jason Wilde, first with us as we are live from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's amazing sports book. Come on down and place your bets. It's Kyle Bruston-Nortman. Kyle Bruston-Nortman live from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and their amazing sports book. If you're worried if you have the game or not on your television, well, I can tell you they have it here in their enormous video wall. Make sure you check it out. Ben Bruss, Kyle Walsh, Brad Nortman, being joined by Jason Wilde of Wilde & Tausch, 9 to noon across these very stations. You'll be able to hear him on Green Bay Game Day coming up shortly after us. Jason, how are you?
Sounds like a really smart place to watch the game if you're a YouTube person or whoever else might not have access. I love it. Good idea, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yes, here to serve. Here to serve, Jason. You know what I hate, Jason?
Oh, straight to what you don't like. Huh?
Not getting to go and enjoy the great food they have at Pato.
I always know that you're jealous of that. But I hate the phrase must win game. It's the most overused phrase in the NFL. So I've been saying it in jest. But Brad is anointed this a character game. Mm-hmm. Kyle says it's a statement game. What do you make of all the different types of games this could be?
It's a big game.
Is it just
big game?
Just another game?
Big game.
Do or die, measuring stick, bounce back.
So I like the measuring stick one. And what I love was Matt LaFleur, much like he was with the trap game, which they ended up getting trapped in, of course. He didn't want to call it a measuring stick game, but then he admitted, you know, I'd be lying if I said that didn't creep into your thinking. Okay. Mm. I appreciate that somewhat. Honest response, right? Because it is. It's look, if you want to be the team that you think you're capable of being, you got to play. I'm not saying you have to win. I do not think it's a must win, especially the way the topsy-turvy realm of the NFL and specifically the NFC is looking right now. What I do think it is the kind of game that, much like last week, which they failed to do, where I said that this was a game that if you are the team you think you are, you run these guys out of the gym. I never contemplated the possibility that they'd actually lose to the Carolina Panthers, who were so overjoyed with their victory over the Packers that they then lost at home to the Saints yesterday.
They turned it over, they turned over three times in the second half in the worst ways possible. It was bad.
Not good. Yeah, so my point is that I do think it's a measuring stick game. I think it is a, you know, let's find out. Okay. First of all, we play down to our level of competition. I'm speaking as the Packers. Let's see if we, meaning them, can play up to the level. And these are the defending champs. And one of the things I like about Micah Parsons is that, I mean, he's an interesting cat, but he's not afraid to speak his mind. And so while LaFleur kind of poo-pooed the measuring stick and a few other people did, he's like, well, yeah, who else would you want to measure yourself against than the defending champs?
Exactly.
And I wanted to give him a high five for that, but I didn't. So, yeah, this is undeniably, I'm going with measuring stick game. I wrote it on Channel 3000 today, and we'll see how they measure up in a few hours.
Jason, we were just talking about Matthew Golden and how his targets compared to other first-round wide receivers like McMillan and Egbuka and yards and the whole thing. Obviously, he's way down the list. If you could transport yourself back to the end of training camp, to this moment, knowing what you knew before the season, would you be surprised at how little his output has been throughout this first half of the season?
Nope. And that's because you were, I think, on paternity leave or something. You don't listen to me. I told, look, rookies, doesn't matter how good they are. It is hard to be good right away. Now, I would argue that I think he's capable of much more than what he's had the opportunity to do. So I don't think it's a lack of talent or lack of grasp of the offense or those types of things necessarily. Although, you know, I think Jordan said this week that he's been running his routes more crisply, which, you know, I think is a good sign. But, no, like, first of all, they got this spread-it-around mentality. Second of all, they've got guys that are experienced. Did I think it would be a little bit higher? Yeah, yes, absolutely. So, your question
Dmowski
is not, like,
would be the more
ridiculous.
Shocked one.
Yeah, Dmowski said it was one of the best receiving camps he's ever seen.
He can only drop the ball, one pass.
Yeah, you know, Rob, he's prone to hyperbole.
I don't know why you went Southern Kyle right there. I don't know.
All y'all. Anyway, I'm not floored by this. But I'll tell you this. They must be, I have to think, either the center they think Bo Melton can slide right back into wide receiver without any trouble. The only person they elevated for game day was Christian Welch for special teams.
Oh,
they did not elevate any of their wide receivers.
That's a good sign.
That's a great sign for Matthew Golden's availability today.
Jason, do the Packers' offensive woes fall silently on the shoulders of the offensive line?
I feel like there has really been a theme that has developed with you and I when I appear on this program. You are just never happy, are you? Like, happy with this team.
Jason, what's crazy is they told me I was too happy.
I'm not going to lie. Earlier. Jason, with you, it's funny how he asks his questions in and, like, is scared, like, wants to ask the thing that he can't figure out because 95% of the time he is so optimistic that this team could have turned it over five times and it would have been not the Packers' fault.
Jason, I the rest of the show, I just, you know, I'm positive, but I do have, you know, I see some of the bad things that they have, and I lean on you to answer those questions because the offensive line, to me, has been poo-put. And so for the offensive line, I really feel like if they play better, the rest of the offense goes better.
Yeah, I don't, you know, obviously Jordan Morgan gave up that pressure on the fourth and eight play. That was not good. And he's had some other issues as well. You know, the run blocking has been below their standard, right? The expectation is obviously for you to, know the person that you're supposed to be blocking, which they haven't done consistently enough, which is really odd and disconcerting. I don't think I would lay it all at the offensive line's feet, but it's a significant piece. There's no doubt about it. At the same time, like, you know, the pick Jordan Love threw had nothing to do with pressure or the offensive line's protection, right? He threw it into triple coverage because he was impatient and he wanted a big play. He was sick of dinking and dunking.
Yep,
he hates to
true.
Do that, and I don't blame him. I get it. So, you know, I think it's a significant portion. I also think that, and I am a huge Josh Jacobs guy, but I think he's been banged up all season and banged up more than he normally would be, even though he's a physical runner. And so I think that's been part of his production issues as well. Mm. And then, and now, boy, I don't know. I'm very curious to see how their offense functions without Tucker Kraft. That is really something
I'm all of the above,
and that's what's so great about him.
Yeah, I was going to ask you too. My other question was, but we walked right into it. What are your expectations for Tucker or Luke Musgrave in this offense now that Tucker Kraft leaves just a massive, massive void?
Yeah, I mean, look, Brad, I think you were very good at what you did. And
thank you.
I can't remember where I have you now in my punter rankings. Daniel Whelan nipping at your heels, but
come on, Jason.
I'm kidling. I kid because I care.
Falling off
but
the podium.
I know.
Like you had that great. It's a fake. Great call and great execution, as Sean McDonough calls it. Right.
Yes.
I mean, I don't want you. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Badgers' leading passer in their win over Washington was the punter. Is that true?
Yeah, put some respect on his name. Sean West.
Yeah. So you put that together. What my point is that you want people to do what they're good at. And while on occasion it's good to have somebody like yourself throw a pass or run a fake or whatever it might be, although obviously your Wikipedia page makes everybody think you're a quarterback because of the photo. But, like, Tucker Kraft did it all. Right, he is the epitome of the complete tight end. I like to say that this must be what it was like in San Francisco when you started to see George Kittle become George Kittle, right? Because remember, George Kittle was a fifth-round pick out of Iowa. It wasn't like he was this, like, oh, my God, they picked him in the first round, like Bubba Franks or whatever tight ends have been drafted in the first round over the years. He was a guy who evolved into arguably the best tight end in football. And what we were seeing from Tucker Kraft this season was him doing that same thing. And so the problem with Luke Musgrave is not that he doesn't have a skill set, because he does, but it is not as diverse as Tucker Kraft. I mean, he just, blocking is not his forte. That is not his strength. So, you know, I like to use the line from Moneyball about, can we recreate him in the aggregate? I'm not sure, because you don't get to put like three tight ends on the field at once, right? I mean, you can, but that means you can't put as many wide receivers or running backs out there. So my point is that they've got a guy in John Fitzpatrick who's been a pretty effective blocker and an okay pass catcher, and they've got a guy in Luke Musgrave who's a solid/good pass catcher but has limitations in terms of his ability as a blocker. So That's the Rubik's Cube that they're going to have to figure out. And on top of that, they're going to have to rely on their wide receivers to chip in as well.
Well, Jason, we appreciate the time, and have fun with Strofe and Gabe out at Green Bay and our Tundra Trio houses for Green Bay Game Day. We will be listening.
Yeah, can't wait
to
see Gabe. Always looking forward to seeing Gabe.
Stay warm, Jason.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you get him
on
weekly.
Guys, take care.
That's
be good.
Enough for you, right? Yeah, that's Jason Wilde. Listen to Jason Wilde and Tausch 9 to noon across these very stations.
Jason was good today, I would say.
It's because you guys had the opportunity to, like, talk
I had to
out
explain
together.
To him. I'm not negative Nancy. That's you two. It's just I like to get
some
like, questions
I feel like
answered.
You come down like I'm speaking to a journalist.
Yeah,
therefore,
yeah.
I need to be a little bit more, you know,
he changes
like,
the way he acts.
Like a
with
bit
Jason.
More formal, a bit more like
I mean,
reason.
He's a big J.
The woes of the offense fall silently on the offense.
Jason
line.
Is an expert. He's been covering the Green Bay Packers since 1996, 1997.
That really is crazy.
And so he is an expert. So I want to respect him as so. You two just are haters.
Haters?
Yeah.
Just ignore him.
And a guy who got it wrong had us going to Ireland. Lil J Ben. Lowercase b.
I just don't know why you do like the lash out. I think that's when you feel insecure about.
Lash out? What do you mean? I'm just being honest.
You had us going to Ireland. What a line.
It's not my fault that Rodgers decided to go play for the Steelers.
So funny.
Green Bay props and preview presented by Sit Means Sit is coming up next. Chris Larson's running the show. Chris will have it ready for us. Don't go anywhere. Live from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's amazing sports book. Remember, if you don't know how to watch the game, they got it right here. I can promise you that. With self-service kiosks, great food, drink specials, self-service kiosks. Get it done right here at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel sports book. Time now for Green Bay Props and Preview on Kyle Bruss-Nortman, presented by Sit Means Sit.
I'm going to ask you to place a little wager for me.
Goes to the end zone. It is a one-handed grab by Matthew Gold.
Intercepted. Taken away by Xavier McKinney.
This is the Green Bay Props and Preview.
Ooh, that's my dog.
Ooh, 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 ooh. And Dog of the Game. Presented by Sit Means Sit Dog Training in Waukesha. Schedule your free consultation today. Visit SitMeansSitWaukesha.com.
It is Green Bay Props and Preview. Chris Larson's running the show. He's got a list of props that will help us figure out how we feel the game will go, which I'm not going to lie, Brad, you've been really good at picking the dog of the game.
I have.
Everything else, so hard to figure out the game flow.
All right, guys, let's start off here with the Green Bay Packers quarterback, Jordan Love. Are you taking the over under 236.5 yards passing for J. Love?
I'll jump in first. I'm going with over. I don't believe this Eagles defense is what they were last year when they made, you know, Patrick Mahomes' life a living nightmare. So I think Jordan Love gets into rhythm. I think he gets his. I also think that the Eagles are going to score some points. I think the Packers are going to need to live in the air a little bit to keep it close.
You said three or four?
What?
236 or 246?
It's 236 and a half.
Ooh, that's a good line. I'm gonna go over. I think Josh Jackson will have a good
so
game.
So convincing. Everyone, run to the kiosk at
Pottawatomie. 246. I'm gonna say, oh yeah, under. Cause I think, oh, so good. Over. I think Jordan Love has a great game today, but I definitely believe Josh Jacobs is gonna have a breakout game.
I'm gonna go under. I feel like these two teams match up, especially the way that went last time, they're both going to want to dominate the line of scrimmage.
You're right. Under.
And I think it's going to be a battle of wills and trying, and especially after how it went down in the first round of the playoffs. They competed defensively. Their offensive line was just in shambles after the injuries. I think it's going to be a battle of who can establish the run game first. So I'm going to go under.
Yeah, I don't think the Packers are going to throw the ball 38, 40 times. So I think you're right, Ben. I'm switching to under.
All right, three statement bets there.
First time I've convinced you to switch to anything, of my opinion.
Let's move on to the battle of the backfield between Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley. Let's start out with Saquon Barkley from the Eagles first. 99.5 rushing receiving yards combined. 99.5 yards rushing receiving combined for Saquon Barkley.
So it's the combined thing that
combined
makes
between
me a
rushing.
Little,
yep.
Yeah, rushing and receiving. I'm actually going to go under. He has not had the season he did a year ago, not even close. And he is dealing with a quad injury. Now he's going to play tonight. He'll be fine. But I'm going under. I think Jeff Hafley looks at Saquon Barkley and says, this man cannot beat us. I think the defense sells out to stop the run and contain him, but that leaves everything else open for Jalen Hurts. But for Saquon Barkley, I'm going under.
I'm going under as well.
Yeah, look, I think we're all under. He's had one game over 100 yards, and it was the first game of the season. Isn't that fascinating? Excuse me, last game of the season. New York Giants, they win, they go on bye. 14 carries, 150 yards. His next best is 4 yards a carry for 88 yards. No game, one game over 50. Like, this is... If he does go over this number, that is a bad sign.
Yes.
For the fifth best rushing defense in the NFL. And honestly, I would rather lose by Jalen Hurts trying to connect with the guy reading books on the sideline.
No, I'm right there with you. I think it's a big day for that defensive line. They got to make up for what happened last week. Put it on Jalen's shoulders. See if he can beat that zone defense and see if he can get that pass rush and get home against him. So contain him.
Let's move on to his counterpart, Josh Jacobs. 91.5 rushing yards, receiving yards combined for Josh Jacobs. 91.5 rushing receiving yards combined for the Packers running back.
Gosh, I'm also under on this.
I'm under because I can't trust it until we see him play a full game.
And I don't think this just happens to be the game where they miraculously figure out the rushing attack.
He had 5 yards of carry last week.
True. But to sustain that against a better defense, it's something else entirely.
Again, I think it's one of those things until we know that he's, like, I feel like Emmanuel Wilson's still getting more time, which is not a bad thing.
He's got some bursts. Jason thinks he's a little bit dinged up, too. Josh Jacobs. Maybe that plays a role.
For sure. I mean, there's no doubt that calf has affected him the last 2 weeks, and especially his snap count.
Yeah, for me, I just look at what this team needs to do. They need to be able to pound the rock. You saw a couple of weeks ago what the Giants were able to do, just honestly bringing it to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Green Bay Packers need to do the same. They need to make sure they lean heavy on Josh Jacobs, heavy on the run game, out the backfield as well. So I see him having over today because I think it's going to be a big day for Josh Jacobs. Got to pound the rock.
Eagles 19th in rush defense for the record here, and Packers 5th.
Cam Scatabu went crazy against them. Just tough, gritty. That's what you got to have.
Well, he's white, so he's gritty.
Gym rat.
Wow.
Players coach.
I didn't say...
Fundamentals.
Y'all ain't going to get me caught up talking about Kyle's a racist. Hell no. He's a good kid.
We were just going cliche. I don't know. No race here. I mean, I was saying it.
Fundamentals. It's basketball.
All right, let's go back to Jordan.
Kid.
Let's go back to Jordan Love.
Chris, what do you think?
I'm not touching that one. I know it's going to be a gritty game tonight.
There you go.
Going back to Jordan Love. 38.5 yards, longest completion tonight for J Love. He's going to throw any deep balls. 38.5 yards, longest completion
for Jordan
Love. Oh, he's
going to sling the thing.
Yeah, you know Jordan.
Will it be intercepted or will it be caught?
No, they're going to take a shot today. I mean, I wish I knew if Matthew Golden was playing, but peep this. I'm a big Luke Musgrave guy. This is his
since Tuckercraft got hurt. Kyle is the biggest.
I've
Luke
always
Musgrave
been a
guy.
Luke Musgrave guy. Man, I love both of the tight ends, and I feel like maybe Tuck was taking some shine away from Luke. I wouldn't be surprised if Luke Musgrave maybe caught one for like 25 and stumbled a little bit down the sideline before he tripped and fell. But yeah, we're gonna hit a shot deep at some point. So
big fan of the guy who can't stay on his feet. Kyle,
he's staying on his feet now.
Yeah, I'm going over. I think a couple of deep balls for Jordan Love. I mean, you know he's got the desire to throw it deep. Actually, it's a little bit of a wink-wink for who my dog of the game might be.
Oh. Ooh, I'm gonna go under, but let's get to the dog of the game. Brad, you can say who goes first because you've recapped your last two dogs of the game.
Dogs of the game before. First was Micah Parsons. And he
three-sack
went ahead,
game
he
against
had three
Arizona.
Sacks game. And then after that was Tucker Kraft, and he dominated until... Unfortunately, he's no longer with us as
Romeo Dobbs.
Romeo Dobbs,
Romeo.
He's in a better place.
He's not on the. He's not with us on the roster. I'm going with Christian Watson. Watson, first game back last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, and he's starting to feel a little bit more in rhythm. He's got that speed. He's got that confidence. There's going to be more targets to him given all the other injuries. I think he has his breakout game tonight. I'm thinking, 110 yards, one touchdown. 7 receptions.
Over 40.5 yards is his prop right here at Pottawatomie Casino.
Bang that over.
He can do that in one. I think that's a good one. I'm going to go with the guy that's happy to play against these Eagles again. I'm going with Micah Parsons, who has 5 career sacks against them. He played well against the Eagles. And I think this is another night that he's going to come to shine. He gets to play one of the old teams that he used to play in the NFC East, and I think he comes and shines tonight for the Green Bay Packers as he will harass Jalen Hurts once again.
As the big Luke Musgrave guy, Kyle, how many receiving yards you got for him today?
Ooh. Oh, Luke is going to probably have about... I got Luke at about 53.
His over-under is 28.5.
I was thinking 28 in my head. I'm going to take it.
Will you?
I'm going to take Hell yeah.
You got $3 in that pocket?
You know, I just had to pay a guy to do something. I gave up my $5. You owe me 20, don't you?
I sent it on Venmo. You can check it. You can check it, brother.
Oh, wow. A guy cut down a tree for me.
You gave him $5?
No.
Great. Thanks for that.
$5.
That brother, $250, did a great job. When I saw it, I was like, damn. And I thought it was $200 and only had $210. So, I said, oh, here's two more fives. And dang.
My dog of the game
wait
is
a minute,
going
wait a minute. You owe me 10 or 20? I think you owe me 10. You said happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy Friday.
Man.
Can I get my dog of the game?
Shakedown.
Go ahead.
Do I owe you more? I'll send more.
No.
Do I owe you more?
No, I think you're right. You got it just right, buddy. Who's your dog of the game?
Brought to you by Sit Means Sit. I'm gonna go with Edgerrin Cooper. He's gonna need to keep. It's an impossible. Can I take two? Can I take the two-headed middle monster?
Go ahead, yeah.
Give me Quay and Edgerrin Cooper.
I like that.
With the read option that Jalen Hurts will fake it if Saquon gets going and will take it for 10 yards and break your back and slide at the last second. Those two need to be dogs of the game.
Sure they do.
We are going to crosstalk with Gabe Neitzel and Alex Stroh up in Green Bay at the Tundra Trio as we get you ready for Green Bay game day. Monday Night Football. Kyle Bruston-Ortman wraps up the show into Green Bay Game Day next. Kyle Bruston-Ortman live from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's amazing sports book. I don't know how this is going to work. This is me, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, and over in Green Bay at the Tundra Trio Houses for Green Bay Game Day. With a mini echo on there. And Gabe Neitzel, Alex Stroh, and Steve Scafidi. What's going on, boys?
I'm cold. It is cold out here.
It might help if you zip up your jacket there, young man.
The first words that come out of Stroh's mouth are complaining.
Well, he's skinny. What about that great long jacket you got that's too big for you?
No, so I said, you can see this week's edition of Stroh's Rolls presented by Coop's Mustard on Twitter right now at ESPN Milwaukee. I changed up the coat because of your healthy bullying towards me. The coat I have on today I describe as a marshmallow coat. It kind of looks like I inflated it with a bike pump.
Sure.
I think it's a better look than last week's trench coat that was a little too big for me. I think this is going to be my new thing. I think I'm going to change up.
I stood next to you all last week, and I did not notice anything that was with the coat last week.
It was too long.
Was the pea coat?
Gabe, if we show you the screenshot, it's bad.
There was one screenshot that makes it look rather large, but I wore it all last season, and nobody said peep to me.
It's not your best look, I got to say that.
This
one is not your best look.
Okay, got it. Noted.
What a surprise.
I don't know if he has a good look. Luis from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel threw this on us. He's got a boat race from the Packers today. 31-13, Josh Jacobs breakout game. We've had fun with the, is it a measuring stick game? Brad says it's a character game. Kyle
you guys,
says it's a statement game.
I
hate the word must win. What kind of game is it to you guys today? Just another game?
I mean, I think it is a good game just to, even if they don't win, just to show that they've got the fight in order to bounce back from what they did last week. I know the Eagles have struggled this year, and they're not the same team that they were last year. There's a reason why they were the most active team at the trade deadline, trying to desperately add to a defense that just hasn't been as good. But at the end of the day, they're still 6-2. They have really good weapons up and down that roster. The Packers are beat up. I'm really curious to see if Zach Tom plays today because that could really factor into any sort of Josh Jacobs breakout game with no Tucker Kraft and no Zach Tom. But how much fight do you have? Because I was willing to forgive and forget on the Cleveland game, but this Carolina game is going to stick with me. Even if they win this game today, it's about, I know what you're capable of. We all know the Packers' best is as good as anybody else's in the league. But the problem is, between their best and what their B game is, that's a huge gap.
Big gap.
And they just can't find any sort of consistency, and that's the problem that I'm going to have with this team, win, lose, or draw tonight.
This is a revenge game. They bookmarked that bad loss at the beginning of the season and the end of the season with the team they're playing tonight. This is a revenge game. They got to show they can match with the best.
Plus the tush push? Yeah. A lot of revenge.
Off-season revenge. Yeah, good point.
Strofe,
by you.
What game is this for you, man? We got good answers. We got a test of will slash fight. We have a revenge game. What do you got?
I think it's a must win for championship expectations. Because as we talked about all last week and over the weekend, losing Tucker Kraft, in my opinion, I think we all agree on this, it takes quite a hit to your championship expectations and your championship hopes. How can you respond against a team that, until otherwise proven, is considered the cream of the crop in the NFC after a bad loss last week? And if they win tonight, I think all of a sudden my eyes are back open going, okay, maybe they can kick this thing up to a championship level the last 8 weeks of the season.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, talking with the Green Bay Game Day crew who's up in Lambeau Field at the Tundra Trio Houses. Anything you want to tell anybody that you guys have coming up next that's special, different, other than Strofe complaining that he's cold?
I'm going to try to keep the complaints to a minimum today. We will get to our heroes of the game. How did the Packers respond without Tucker Kraft? We will talk to Rob Domofsky in about a half an hour, who is inside the stadium. Injury updates coming at 5:30. Is Matthew Golden in or out? Is Dontavian Wicks in or out? Is Savion Williams in or out? Who's playing wide receiver tonight? Bo Melton, maybe?
And yet you listed all those names. The biggest name on that's questionable is Zach Tom.
Yeah,
without
a
doubt.
That's a huge one.
That's the biggest name. And hopefully Jason Wilde's on time this week.
Yeah, we will see. He was about 47 minutes late last week. Hopefully not the case
this
week.
Dang.
But we will get rolling here in just a couple minutes, leading you to kickoff on Green Bay Game Day.
All right, thanks, boys.
Yeah.
Thanks, fellas.
Go Pat, go, baby.
Stay warm.
For those guys, don't go anywhere.
Yeah,
right here across
on,
ESPN Wisconsin, YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison.
Big game for our Packers, baby.
We are Kyle, Bruston, Nortman. We will talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Enjoy Green Bay Game Day. Kyle, you want to leave us with the last words?
It's time to make a statement, baby. Go, Pack, go. Go, Pack, go. Go, Pat, go. Get our revenge back, baby.
Character game. Get your character on, Green Bay Packers. Come on now.
Green Bay Game Day next.